Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Himalayan sea salt, but I'm thrilled they have because no other body wash exfoliates and moisturizes 24/7 like Old Spice Gentleman's Himalayan Sea Salt Body Wash. Now, if only there was a mountain range separating the Indian subcontinent from the Tibetan Plateau where I could hide my Old Spice and keep my family from stealing it, my impossibly smooth skin will finally be safe.
Free. Who doesn't love free? With Milo's rewards, you get the member-only treatment that's actually worth it. Enjoy free member gifts you'll love. And once you reach Silver Key status, you can get free standard shipping. Because Lowe's knows nothing feels better than free. Learn more about our new loyalty program at Lowe's.com/Milo's rewards today. Program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Member gifts may be subject to additional terms and restrictions. See Lowe's.com/shipping terms for details. Subject to change.
It's 2 p.m. in Memphis. Giannotto and Jeffrey time. Get off the fence. Live on Memphis's sports station. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jim Mother, can you hear me whining? It's been 3 whole weeks since that I...
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Giannotto and Jeffrey Show. We're coming to you live from Memphis, Tennessee. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. In just a moment, Mark Giannotto is going to join us. He was at Grizzlies Breakdown Day. We'll get his thoughts and reactions from everything that he heard today. Round 240, Jason Munns is going to join the program. We've had some more targets, more commitments for Tiger basketball. We'll discuss all of that with him. 305, we'll get into the list. We'll also tell your story during hour number two. We'll get out of here and we'll make way for the Gabe Kuhn Show. But now, let's welcome to the program the Commercial Appeal's lead sports columnist, the lead sports columnist of the number one sports section in the state of Tennessee. Top three sports columnists in the state of Tennessee, barely. Tied for eighth, best sports columnist in the United States of America. He's on Twitter, on X, at M. Giannotto. Mark, good day, sir.
How are you, Jeffrey? I'm talking to you from the bowels of FedEx Forum. Probably for the last time in a while. I don't know when I'll be back here, you know, there's not really... Last year I came in the summer for a big... Remember when the Big Three came through?
Oh, yeah.
I came here for that when TA played in that, but probably my last time, you know, inside the bowels of FedEx Forum for a while. But it was... you know, it was breakdown day, a little earlier than the past few years, unfortunately, breakdown day for the Grizzlies. But got to talk to some of the guys, not everyone. So it was interesting heading into the offseason just because it's weird. You, like, spend 6 months, you know, you kind of have these guys available for the most part after every game. And then you realize on breakdown day you're talking to them, and then, like, for the most part, none of these guys...
They're ready to go on vacation.
Well, they're going on vacation, but they also just, you know, like, they don't want to talk to us that much anyways. They do it because it's required for their job, and so we won't talk to them again until training camp starts in September. So, yeah, it was good to hear everyone's thoughts on this season, and, you know, we'll wrap our arms around it one more time here ourselves based on what was said today. It's just a... I don't know. It's just a really hard season to evaluate, ultimately, I think. You know, I don't know. They're saying the right things in management. You know, we tried to get the most out of it. We learned some things. But, like, ultimately, when your best player only plays 9 games, pretty hard to evaluate the season.
No, I think that's fair. I also think, though, it might have, like, in a certain way, the way they started the season was going to dictate so much of their season to begin with. It's almost like, though, you can fall into the trap because it became such a nightmare with injuries that you realize, you know, early on, like, this team did functionally have problems. And I feel like it almost, the fear is that it almost makes you kind of ignore that when I think there were some structural issues.
It's interesting you say that. I'll have a column up at commercialappeal.com soon in which kind of my takeaway from today. Like, listen, there are all sorts of off-season storylines that we will certainly dissect on the show today and moving forward. Like, you know, just to kind of bullet point it for you, you know, like today, Zach Kleiman reiterated they're going to add at least one more big, which is to the roster, which is basically what he said at the trade deadline. I thought an interesting sort of caveat was when he talked about Vince Williams. He basically said Vince Williams is going to have a significant role on this team next year. But then when he, in the same breath almost, was talking about G.G. Jackson,
said
his role will depend on what G.G. is ready for, essentially, which I thought was a clear demarcation, you know, between the two guys in my mind. We heard that Ja Morant is on, you know, he's on schedule with his rehab. From the shoulder surgery. And I guess the way they phrased it was halfway through the off season is when they expect him to be cleared for basketball, you know, full basketball activities. And then I guess Kennard did come up briefly, Luke Kennard's status, and Kleiman reiterated they feel strongly about him still, but acknowledged there's a decision that has to be made with his team option and how they proceed there. So nothing really revelatory. And the reason I bring that all up is because to go back to your original point, Jeffrey, of like, you know, I think it would be a big mistake to overlook what I would call the first 34 games of the season, not just those first 25, but the first 34, because I think it's important, as you pointed out, to go 6-19 with Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. playing at a pretty high level, and Marcus Smart at that the healthiest he was all season, basically. I know he had like a couple games there when he came back from the ankle injury where he looked pretty good right before he got injured again. But you had three of your four best players.
Yeah.
Who were supposed to be three or four best players on the court, and you went 6-19 with them, and then to watch how quickly it almost immediately flipped during those nine games Ja played. I think they went 6-3, but just it looked a lot better. And I bring all that up to say, I don't think those first 34 games should easily be forgotten. And the lesson I took from it all is ultimately the biggest offseason storyline for this franchise is the same storyline that was there last year. It's Ja Morant's return, because if he's not, like, he is the straw that stirs this drink. As good as Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. are, this team will not achieve the goals it's setting out to achieve unless Ja Morant is back to being a superstar.
Yeah.
That to me is the biggest, you know, the biggest story. Like, it doesn't matter. Like, they can add whatever big they want. They can draft whoever they want in this draft. They will not be a contender in the Western Conference if John Morant is not a superstar.
Yeah, I think that's right. I mean, I guess the one question I would have is, do you think the start of the season would have been different if they have Steven Adams?
Maybe. I mean, do I think they go 6-19 if they had Steven Adams? No, probably not. At the same time, again, we watched how that played out. Ultimately, the problem, yes, like the first five games, they didn't have a center at all. But like Biombo was okay-ish. And like the real problem was when they didn't have the starters in. Remember,
yeah.
it was the depth.
No, it was almost the same script for like of those 25 games. It felt like 15 games had the same script. First quarter pretty competitive, maybe even have a lead. Second quarter they'd be down, 15 at the half.
Now, very clearly, they were not playing Vince Williams Jr. or G.G. Jackson during those first 25 games. And, this version, the version of Jake LaRavia we saw, I guess, the last few weeks was not there. Now, that being said, again, I don't know how much to – like, if we're to go those first 34 games and then you take it to the last, 48 games?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what to read into the last 48, to be honest, especially the last 25. Like, for yesterday – G.G. Jackson puts up 44 points. It was fun, I guess. I was here for the game, for the last game. But, I don't know. I just didn't put that much stock into it. I don't know. I think G.G. Jackson is a really intriguing player. And the way other players talk about him suggests, some of this hype he's got locally, a lot of fans really think he's going to be a star, makes sense. But very clearly the Grizzlies have, they're kind of slow playing them, it sounds like. And, they're not necessarily going into next season saying, well, what we saw, him averaging 20-some-odd points and shooting 40-some-odd percent from three down the stretch here the last 2 months, that's convinced us he's a major part of next year's team. It's very clear to me that they're open to the idea of him being a major part of next year's team, but they're not necessarily going to plan the team around that idea yet. Vince Williams, as good as he was, missed the last 25 games of the year with a knee injury.
I would say this. It felt
to
me.
If you're going into this going, they've figured it, if the guys they've got, they got to run it back. If they run it back, they'll be fine. I guess maybe. But again, that entire scenario relies on Ja being a superstar. And that would be the reason why they'd be okay. It wouldn't be because the rotation as it is now is a championship caliber rotation. I'm not sure about that yet.
Well, I think the other complicating factor is, okay, even if let's say Ja's ready to go night one, which seems like that's very much in the possibilities, in terms of the timeline. We've only seen 1 year where he's played more than 65 games.
Yeah, no, his durability is definitely it's a big thing. And again, as good as Desmond Bane and Jaren Jackson Jr. are really good NBA players. What became clear to me this season is that's not enough.
I think the other thing that was interesting is probably entering into last season, you would have thought the biggest injury concern is probably Jaren, and Jaren gave you pretty much a completely healthy year. I mean, we also found out today from the Kleiman comments, I think if they had to play in the play-in tomorrow night, doesn't sound like Desmond would be ready.
No, to that point, I was here last night, and I happened to be by the players' tunnel, at the beginning of the game, and Des was the last guy out of the locker room as the game was about to start. And just watching him walk, I was like, oh, this is a real injury. He's walking very gingerly, very gingerly. Now they did categorize that as weeks, not months, for his back injury. He seemed pretty confident that basically once he's done, it's not going to affect his off season, is the way he basically phrased it. In any sort of meaningful way. And Kleiman said of those 13, of the 13 guys listed on the injury report for the last game, only Ja was the one he would categorize as like someone who has a significant amount of time that they're going to have to miss moving forward in terms of off-season training and what have you. Like, everyone else's injuries are relatively minor in the grand scheme of things. It was interesting, I guess. You know, it's like ultimately what struck me is like, you know, two years ago, all we talked about was how ahead of schedule this team is. And maybe some people still view them as ahead of schedule. In listening to them and just having gone through this season, it feels like they've gone from ahead of schedule to now like trying to make up for some lost time, because they've had, you know, essentially since the first gun incident, you know, with Ja, the Instagram gun incident, like Ja has played so little since then. And it feels like, you know, now they're, I don't know if on schedule is the right way to phrase it, but now it doesn't feel like they're ahead of schedule anymore, especially after having this, whatever you want to call it, lost season, gap year, whatever. And that's where they're at heading into the offseason. I think there's an urgency that has to be there just because you've seen how quickly some of this stuff can slip through your fingers, whether it's within a playoff series or within a season.
Well, I think the other thing that you are becoming increasingly aware of, it's not as if this team is at a crisis point in terms of the timeline of how old they are. They're still plenty young. But I think what you start to come to the realization of, you could be ahead of schedule and then you're kind of either on schedule or you're up against it, because then all of a sudden you've got to pay the guys. And now you've got three guys that you got to pay. And so that makes, you know, it makes all the other roster decisions so much more impactful, because when you got two of your three guys basically on rookie deals and one of them is on, you know, a very team-friendly extension, well, then you've got a little bit more leeway. You've got some room to maybe miss here or there. Now what you realize is like, man, they just don't have a ton of room to just swing and miss.
No, and I think what these next 2 years are going to demonstrate is like, what type of team can you build around three guys on nine-figure contracts?
Yeah.
You know, like what kind of team, now it seems like if Gigi and Vince are hits, which you hope they are based on what you've seen, well, now you got two pieces tied up on really cheap deals. Okay, now let's see, what's this, who's this big they're going to get? Because it was, you know, it was also interesting to hear Kleiman talk about Jaren. It's very clear, not that Jaren is opposed to playing the five, but it's clear like he wants to be kind of like ambiguous, not necessarily like a five. But hearing Kleiman talk about it, I think you could tell he knows Jaren would rather be kind of ambiguous, but he also said something along the lines of, you know, he thinks they're best from a roster management perspective. He thinks they're best long term if Jaren is at the five. In his mind, they're going to add this big, but like if you're talking about this in the sense of, okay, this is a Western Conference finalist championship contender type of team, which is what they hope it will be the next 2 years, you're going to have to get through three or four playoff series. And there's going to probably be at least one of those playoff series where you're going to go up against someone where you're not going to be able to play big. You're going to have to play Jaren at the five for most of the series, you know? And then there's going to be a series, like if you're going against whatever, this year it'd be like Minnesota or Denver, where maybe you don't want to play Jaren at the five, you know, like it. And so that was also interesting, because in terms of who they're going to target as a big this off season, I'm not convinced. I don't think they're stuck in terms of like, we have to get like a Steven Adams prototype or whatever, like a big bruising, whatever. But I think deep down, that's what they prefer. Like, they prefer to have a situation where they can, whether via trade or spend money, have sort of the similar setup they had with Adams, where, you know, you've got Jaren starting with a traditional big, but that big doesn't necessarily close the game. And you have Brandon Clark to, you know, help, and maybe there's another. Like, I thought it was also interesting that Kleiman said at least one big. You know, he said that again, just like he said at the trade deadline. So, like, it might be more, you know, whether it's, you know, another rookie with the draft, or, you know, you sign sort of a mid-level exception type center, and then trade for another minor one or sign a veteran minimum one. Like, I think there's going to be a couple. My gut would tell me he didn't say at least one big for no reason.
No, I mean, I think the interesting aspect when you talk about like the optionality or whatever their buzzword is, it does feel like they would like to have the ability to have a bruiser if they need it, and that's something. But like then that kind of becomes the question. It's like, okay, how many of those are available? Mm-hmm. How many of them can you sign, or do you have to make a move? I really felt like we learned today that I think that they would like to have that option. I still don't know if it's crystal clear in the sense that, okay, what is that option? And obviously, in fairness to them, you know, where they land in the draft lottery also impacts, you know, what they're probably thinking.
Yeah, I just think you're going to see them add a big of some kind. He said it too many times and like emphasized it for it not to happen. Now, will it be perfect? You know, will they get some great deal or some great fit? I don't know. You know, that's, you know, ultimately up to who's available and what they can kind of pull off here. But, and I thought it was important to hear Jaren say, he sort of said basically, I think this is, I guess, self-explanatory at this point, given what they've been through. But his point was, like, it's not enough for us to just be a top four seed and make the playoffs anymore. Like, this is about advancing at this point in the evolution of this team. And I do think it goes back to your point of they may not be old by age standards, but, like, ultimately, I think they're going to be entering year six, right, with Ja, Jaren, and Dez on the roster together, you know? And, like, you know, time stands still for no one, you know, in the NBA. And, you know, they can't, you know, having another year like this would be really, really devastating. But even, frankly, having a year like 2 years ago where you kind of fell flat on your face in the playoffs, I think I agree with him. That's not acceptable for this group anymore. And so I liked hearing that, that even amid all of the carnage of this season, it does feel like kind of the culture and ethos and the vibe, if you will, the goals haven't, you know, they haven't lost sight of that stuff. It doesn't feel like they're starting from scratch. It almost feels like, you know, again, like whether you want to call it a loss year or a gap year, it almost felt like today felt like a continuation of breakdown day from the end of last year in some ways.
Yeah, and I mean, I guess that's kind of one of the big questions I have is, let's say you have a season like you did last year, but no off court drama like we saw.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just kind of that result where, you know, you are a top four seed, but you get beat in the playoffs as the higher seeded team.
Let's say you lose a tough 4-5 series as the four seed, or
sure,
something like that, because it's going to be. I mean, with the way the Western Conference is shaping up these days,
the Clippers or the Mavericks are going to be done after the first round. And you know what I mean? Like, those are the Mavericks right now have been playing awesome basketball. The Clippers in January and February were looking like one of the better teams.
Minnesota or Phoenix is going to be done.
Exactly.
You know, like Minnesota, a team that led the West most of the year, and Phoenix, a team after making the, you know, Durant and Beal trades, was viewed as like title or bust, kind of, you know, and one of them is going to be done in the first round.
Right. So let's say they have that type of season. Do you think that would that motivate them? Would that, you know, change the way that they would handle next offseason? Like, that's a big question to me.
Yeah, I don't know. That's why next year feels like, even though, again, from a age perspective, it's not urgent. These guys still have, you know, hopefully 10 years left in their career or whatever, 8 years at least left in their career. They're just entering their primes, it feels like, just entering them. But at the same time, to your point, let's say you don't get out of the first round next year and, you know, Jaren's up for an extension and, you know, they're going to have to make a decision whether to double down on these three. And so that could be a potentially really difficult decision. My gut tells me, let's say your scenario plays out, I bet they would still double down on the three.
Yeah, and I think, you know, that's probably the right decision. And then maybe you evaluate, like, at the next deadline or whatnot. I mean, I would also think,
you know, like, for instance, you know, like, to me, it'd be more like, you know, like if next year, like for, let's say next year that scenario plays out. Well, then I think, like, I don't think necessarily it affects Jaren, but it, I think it probably would affect, like, Marcus Smart, you know?
Yeah,
like
that's that, probably that, fair. Well, I mean, I think a huge part of this is, you know, what type of feedback are you getting from Jaren's agent?
Yeah, so, but again, that's, frankly, that's getting ahead of ourselves. Let's see how this offseason goes. And let's see, like, if, can we, you know, like, ultimately, I come back to the original point of, man, if they can get, like, 70 games of Ja Morant next year, like, I think they're going to be in a pretty good spot going into the playoffs. I don't care what else they do moves-wise, what big they add, how Gigi and Vince perform. Like, I think if you get 70 games of Ja Morant, you're going to be in a pretty good spot. And that, to me, is the most important thing for this team moving forward, is figuring out whether it's through Ja or through whatever it is, health, off-court stuff, like, this season proved to me that, like, you know, this concept that, you know, it's a big three, sure, but there's a big one on top.
Yeah, like, no, I totally agree.
There's a lead dog in all this, and he may not be the captain, vocal leader, whatever, but, like, you saw in those nine games he played how different this team looked, how different even, like, Jaren and Dez carried themselves when they can be second bananas instead of lead guys. Like, Ja is uniquely positioned and uniquely wired to where, I mean, the reality is that first game back told you everything you need to know about that guy on a basketball court. Like, comes back after missing 25 games and literally wills them to a comeback win and hits the buzzer beater. And I don't think there's anyone else on that roster who's like that. Frankly, I don't know if there's 5 or 10 guys in the league who are wired like that, you know, more than 5 or 10 who are wired like Ja. And so that's the key to it all to me. We can talk all we want about all this other stuff. If Ja Morant gives them 70 games at the level we've seen him play at, even like 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago, like an all-star caliber, you know, one of the 15 best players in the NBA, that's all that matters. That to me, they're not going anywhere unless that's happening, I don't think. I don't think this team is anything more than a first-round flame-out team unless Ja Morant is playing at that level.
Well, I mean, there's like a real question of, unless he's playing at that level, like, you know, are they a play-in team?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good
question. You know what I mean? Like, we look at it, I mean,
the reality is, if you look at, like, from last January, so I'm talking January 2023 on, you know, last season, that's basically what they were.
Right.
They ended up with the 2 seed because they had such a blistering start to the season.
Well, and they were just so good at home. Like, despite their road woes, like, they were, I think they ended up with either the best mark at home in the year or, like, the second best.
Yeah. Yeah. So, it's both reason for, like, honestly, like, if you are the sort who are going, man, this team, this is a total blip of a year. This team can be a Western Conference finalist next year. Like, I think that's believable. I also think it's believable that this team kind of, as you put it, kind of just falls into the play-in mix and is kind of an afterthought in a lot of ways. I think both scenarios at play. I don't think, unless there's another wave of injuries, that, like, they'll go through something like they went through this year. But to me, a lot of, you know, that difference between, you know, sort of play-in-ish team and being sort of a real contender in the West, it all to me revolves around Ja Morant and him getting healthy and him being back to the player undistracted, and back to the player he was a couple years ago. And I think he can do it. Like, I think it's very, like, to me, like, that is, to me, the greatest reason for hope. It's because I do believe he can very easily get back to being that player.
And again, maybe the sample size was super small, and, you know, he's coming back in December, and he's got the edge. But the thing that I would take solace in is the fact that he reminded you very quickly when you just saw him on the floor. You're like, oh, yeah, this guy is still different.
Yeah, yeah. So, hopefully he's, you know, they said 6-month timeline from the time he got surgery. So that's 6 months from January. February, March, April, May, June. That means we're talking probably like July. He's back on the basketball court.
Anything else today kind of stand out to you? I mean, to me, it seemed like it more or less went about like I expected. I think the only thing I took note of, but I still didn't know how much stock to put into it, was Derrick Rose says he expects to be back. But, you know, to me, like that's a...
I'll say this. He said he expects to be back, and I got the vibe from Kleiman that they really... Kleiman went out of his way. I guess he was asked about the veterans in the locker room and what they ultimately, you know, they brought in Marcus Smart and Derrick Rose, and part of it was to have more veteran voices. And, like, Kleiman went out of his way to praise. He basically said, he said something along the lines of, like, while D. Rose didn't get to play like he wanted to because of the injuries, he contributed a lot in the locker room. Like, I got the distinct vibe that Derrick Rose was saying, I'm coming back, and he was saying it from a position of he'd spoken to the front office about it. And, like, he's not – I think he will be back, honestly, from based on what I heard today.
Was that a little surprising to you?
Not necessarily. No, because it's like they're going to have to eat the money anyways. I mean, I guess I could see a situation where if, like, a trade you're not expecting – comes up and, like, you need a roster spot to pull it off, where that happens, like, I wouldn't rule it out. I wouldn't say 100% he's coming back, but, you know, at the same time, like, you gotta think, you know, his son is now playing for Ja Morant's AAU team. You gotta consider, so, you know, it sounds like Ja called him like a big brother to him. There's dynamics at play here, I think, that you also have to consider in terms of, you know, he's a well-respected guy in that locker room, and unless you really need the spot, maybe it's helpful to have him. I don't know. And, like, I will say, when he did play this year, he was usable.
I agree. I mean, you could tell his body wasn't cooperating.
But, like, ultimately, if the Grizzlies are healthy-ish, you know, I'm not saying they're going to avoid all injuries next year. Like, the plan for him this year was just to, like, kind of fill in the gaps the first 25. And then I think the assumption was, you know, if this team was a playoff team, he wouldn't be in the rotation if this was a playoff team, you know? And I think next year the thought will be, you know, like, he's going to be like their DeAndre Jordan or Udonis Haslam, I would think, right? Like, guy who you can, I guess, break glass in case of emergency, but is really just there to, like, help out everyone, you know? Like, I don't see any harm in holding that roster spot for him, especially with the way people talk about him and his sort of what he was able to do inside the locker room even this year. I'm okay with it. Again, if something comes, I'm okay with it in the sense of thinking of it in terms of, listen, if I need to get rid of him, I will. But, like, we guaranteed this second year from the get-go, and so, you know, it's probably better to have him in the locker room making two-something million than just eating the two-something million, you know?
So, I think that's fair. Did anything else kind of surprise you or stand out?
Surprising. Like I said, the difference between how Kleiman talked about Vince and Gigi, while subtle, was interesting, I thought. You didn't get to speak to Luke Kennard, was not on the interview list, which was kind of weird. And then Marcus Smart was supposed to speak, but I guess is dealing with some sort of illness, so did not speak. So didn't really get many thoughts in terms of them, other than what I mentioned earlier from Kleiman. Not much. I left the room by the time Santi spoke to start writing, so I'm not exactly sure what he said. But Santi did not come up in conversation, because I view Santi and Luke as two guys who I'm going to have my eye on in terms of guys who might not be back on the roster next year, just because. You know, in Luke's situation, I think it's because of his contract situation. And in Santi's, it's like, if you're going to make a deal, like who on this roster will teams actually kind of want and you're willing to give up. And I keep coming back to Sandy.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
To especially me, if you keep talking about we're adding a big this offseason.
Yeah.
Anyways, and like if ultimately, you know, I guess part of this also depends on Gigi. Like if Gigi's ready, like why would you, you know, doesn't it make sense to give him some of Santi's minutes? He kind of provides similar things.
Yeah, the only hesitation I would have is it seems like if that were the case, that decision wouldn't be made until the, you know, at some point in season, next season. That doesn't
be made at the deadline. It'd be made at the deadline, maybe.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like something that would be determined by summer.
But we'll see. I mean, Santi's going to be interesting because, like, ultimately, if he's going to be part, to me, if he's going to be part of this team beyond this coming season, you're signing him to an extension this offseason. If he doesn't get an extension this offseason, I would think whether he's on the roster at the beginning of the year or not, I would think he's going to be on the block by the end of the year, you know, like by the trade deadline type of thing. I didn't really see anything from Santi this season that made me go, I'm wild about signing him to an extension.
No, unless it's just, you know, super team friendly, but I don't know if that makes sense for Santi.
Even so, like, you know, that's a risk too. We saw with Contrar.
Sure.
We signed what we thought was a team friendly contract extension, and you know, now it's like hard, you know, like it's not the worst contract in the world, but it's also hard to get rid of. And like you have this logjam of wings now that you have to figure out because, you know, ultimately you've got Zaire, Conchar, Luke Kennard, Vince Williams, Gigi, and Marcus Smart. Like you can only play like three or four of those guys. You know, and so what are you going to do with the other two? You know, and so obviously Zaire would be the candidate you'd most want to deal, but he's probably the one with the least value. He's the one you're probably going to have to like give up stuff in order to get rid of him. You know, so that's something they're going to have to sort through this off season. But the next big thing is obviously the draft lottery in like a month and a half or so. So, it's going to be. It feels like it's going to be it's not going to be an uneventful offseason, but I also don't think there's going to be I don't think there's going to be a move as big as the Marcus Smart trade this offseason.
No, it almost feels like even for like the front office, it's like, all right, gap year to a certain degree, but it's almost like we made these moves to see what it looks like. They at least like want to see what it looks like.
Yeah. No, I think the big move is very clearly going to be, who do they add in the front court? What meaningful piece do they add in the front court? And then what do they do with this pick? Do they trade it or do they? And Kleiman made clear, it's either trade it or pick best player available. Doesn't matter where they land in the draft, that's going to be the philosophy. Either trade it or take best player available. They're not going to just take a center. You know, if a center is the best player available, they'll take him. But like he made pretty clear, it's best player available.
All right, buddy, we'll let you get back to writing.
That is
Mark Giannotto from FedEx Forum. We do have some Tiger basketball news. A home-and-home with UNLV has been announced. John Rothstein just put that on Twitter. That was something that I think had been rumored. I remember Mark telling me off the record. So let's find out about that. Also, is another big weekend for Tiger basketball recruiting. Let's talk all that with Jason Munns next, right here on Giannotto and Jeffrey, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Giannotto and Jeffrey, broadcast live from the Red River Toyota Studios. Check out Red River Toyota in Wynn, Arkansas. This hour of G&J is brought to you by the Next Generation 10G Network. Only from Xfinity. The Giannotto and Jeffrey Show on 92.9 FM ESPN.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer for the Commercial Appeal. You can follow him on Twitter on X at Munsley. Joins us on the program each and every Monday. Munns, what are we listening to?
Jeffrey, we're listening to the brand new collective soul song, Mother's Love. It's off their forthcoming double album.
Collective Soul's back?
Oh, back. They never left. What are you talking about?
That's a great
point. They've been putting out albums. They've been putting out albums every few years for a long time. And this is their 10th studio album, and it's a double album. It's called Here to Eternity. And it was recorded in Palm Springs, California at the former estate of one Elvis Presley.
And it's Coachella weekend, too, or whatever weeks. I have no idea.
Yes.
And it's everyone's all been out of shape about Coachella. We got a little bit of news. I saw that you had written about it. Something I think at least been rumored at least for a week or so, probably for you. You probably known about it a little bit before. But Memphis has signed a home-and-home deal with UNLV. The Tigers will go to Vegas next year and then a return trip the following year. What can you tell us about the deal?
Yeah, it's a home-and-home. It starts this year, this calendar year. Obviously, it'll be my understanding is it'll be sometime in November. And I think, don't hold me to this, but I think it's going to be on the earlier side of November. So fairly early in the season, I believe. The Running Rebs are going to come back here next season. That's not a bad little road trip for anybody who can make it. I feel like it's shaping up to be another really good non-conference schedule. You got Clemson, Virginia, those are on the road. It's been previously announced or reported that they're going to play San Francisco at the Chase Center, and then of course Missouri's coming to Memphis is to finish that home and home deal. And then the Maui Invitational, course, which includes two-time defending national champs UConn, as well as Dayton, Iowa State, Michigan State, North Carolina, Colorado. I feel like there's
You have UConn, Carolina, Michigan State, Auburn, Iowa State. Maybe you didn't say Iowa State, Dayton, and Colorado.
Yeah, Auburn, I think, is the one I missed. But that's a loaded field. So it's shaping up to be a really nice non-conference schedule. There's a couple of more that haven't been formally
finalized
or announced or finalized that are going to be home games that I think people are going to get really excited about.
When you look at the schedule, do you think we're going to start to see more of this in the future where they're going to start, playing Mountain West teams? Is this kind of where it's headed?
Well, so I think part of the reason, not so much the UNLV game, but more so the San Francisco game, was done to sort of get a little extra bang for their buck for going to Maui.
Yeah.
And so that's like on their way out to Maui, they're going to play San Francisco at the Chase Center, where the Warriors play. So technically neutral site, but it's in San Francisco. But next season, they're part of the field for the Rainbow Classic, is it? I believe it is what it's called.
The Hawaii Shootout, the artist formerly known as it?
Yes. So it's another, I believe, that's right. That's also in Hawaii, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, so I think they're also part of that field next year. So it's going to be Hawaii in the November of this year, and then Hawaii for the Rainbow Classic next year. So I would not be surprised, to answer your question, if they do something similar again, where they get another game out that way before, before or after, to try and make the trip a little bit more cost effective.
Do you get the sense that scheduling is becoming more difficult for Memphis?
Well, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't think so. Their ability to get Virginia and Clemson at home to start a home and home. Of course, they had Texas A&M. They had Alabama. They had
The Auburn. Well, that was a one-off, right?
Right. It was a neutral site.
In Atlanta, yeah.
Yeah. But still, no, I don't necessarily get that impression. What I do think, though, is that there are probably games against teams and programs that Memphis would prefer to play. And I'm talking about Houston. I'm talking about Kentucky, Arkansas, some of like Louisville, those types of games. I think that that the fans would love. Tennessee is another one. I think those types of games are definitely more difficult to come by for Memphis at this stage. So in that way, in that regard, yes, probably it is difficult. But at the same time, they're getting some pretty good teams on the East Coast. Mizzou, just mentioned Mizzou a little bit earlier, getting them to come here. So, they could do worse. They could certainly do worse. And these MTEs, in the Bahamas this past season, they had some really nice teams there. North Carolina was there. They didn't play them, but they were there. And then, of course, you can't beat having UConn, a chance to play UConn in Hawaii.
No, that would be the dream, to open up Maui against UConn. That would be nothing short of spectacular. We're talking with Jason Munns here on the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at Munsley. We got some recruiting news. Colby Rogers, formerly of Wichita State, has made his commitment to Memphis. I think really this is kind of the question that I have as we're starting to watch kind of the targets come into place. What waters do you think the Tigers are swimming in right now in terms of like the caliber of player that they're going after?
Well, I think so far, you've got the three guys that have committed: PJ Haggerty, Dane Danger, and now Colby Rogers. And, two out of the three of those are people that Penny has seen with his own eyes. He's game planned for these guys himself. So he's got some firsthand knowledge of PJ Haggerty and Colby Rogers. And then, there's some guys who've come on visits. Aaron Scott came over the weekend. He played for North Texas. John Buggs III is another North Texas guy who I checked with him this morning. He is still scheduled to visit Memphis this Thursday. So, if there's a common thread here, one of the common threads is that, these are all AAC guys, those ones that I mentioned. And it kind of shows that Penny, sort of prefers players that he, has been able to see himself, see for himself. I don't know. I think last year did prove that it didn't matter how many accolades a guy had
You had Jordan Brown, who was the mid-major player of the year. You had Javon Quinterly, who was the, what was he, the co-SEC tournament player?
I think he was the SEC tournament MVP.
Yep, SEC tournament MVP, and then like SEC sixth man of the year 1 year. You know, it. I think this past season proved that, yeah, you can go out and get these quote unquote big names, but it just doesn't always work. It's hard, you know. If you do, you can do that, but you also have to make sure those pieces fit and they complement each other. And I think that, to me, is what, of the names that we know have committed and the names that are visiting, you can see it's pretty easy. It's easy even for the casual observer to see how they fit together, and that they fit together and complement each other better than what you got last year. Those are my biggest takeaways as we sort of watch this all unfold.
What are they adding with Colby Rogers?
Well, a sniper, man. Here's what I'll say. He made 99 three-pointers this past season at Wichita State. Do you know how many Tigers in the history of the Memphis program have ever made as many as 99 three-pointers in one season?
The way you're phrasing the question is going to make me say none.
One time.
And it was
Rodney Carney.
I should have guessed Carney.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to.
No. My guess was going to be Rodney, but then I was like, man, that really wasn't an error of let it fly.
All right, well, here, I have a follow-up question. So Rodney Carney is the only one who's ever had more than 99 three-pointers, which is what Colby Rogers had this past season at Wichita State. In Memphis history, has there ever been anybody other than Rodney Carney who's ever had 90 three-pointers in one single season at Memphis?
I'm still going to say no. I mean, the only other person I think is maybe Jeremiah. How many did he have? But I felt like Jeremiah, much of his work was like going to the rack.
Yeah, I don't have it in front of me, but I know that Jeremy Hunt is number two on the single-season three-pointer list at Memphis with 89. So what Colby Rogers did at Wichita State this past season has only ever been done once at Memphis. And so, like, that to me speaks volumes about what Memphis is getting in this player. I mean, he averaged 16.4 points per game at Wichita. And he's not just a flash in the pan either. He shot 41%, right at 41% this past season at Wichita State. Two seasons before at Siena, he shot 43% from three. That's what this dude is. He is a marksman. He is a sharpshooter. He is a floor spacer extraordinaire. And, you know, Memphis just has not had really anybody capable. I mean, he's got to do it when he gets here, sure. But his worst season, he also played two seasons at Cal Poly. His worst season in college from a three-point percentage perspective was 32.5%.
Of cold Javon games Quinterly, at Cal Poly.
Javon Quinterly shot 34.5% as a sixth-year senior this past season at Memphis. Only marginally better than Colby Rogers' worst season, which was like 5 years ago at Cal Poly. I don't know. I think that he is going to bring a dimension to the Penny Hardaway offense at a level that I don't think Penny has seen, or a Penny Hardaway team has seen since he became coach.
Does it seem to you, though, I think the big question I have is, like, the thing that's made the portal so difficult is trying to figure out who else is targeting guys, you know, whatnot. It doesn't feel to me like there is the emphasis this season of, or at least of this cycle, of we're trying to just go and get the biggest possible name we can get. Am I misguided on that? Am I misinterpreting what I'm seeing?
No, that's what I was saying before, is I think they are tailoring their pursuit of the players that they're going after with fit, I think, more in mind than anything else. Shoot, Penny said it himself after they lost to Colby Rogers in Wichita State and Fort Worth, that his biggest focus last offseason was accumulating talent. He said he veered away from, what he knows how to coach, like how he coaches and what he feels like is like his, philosophy, which, as we all know, is defense first and letting the defense dictate the offense and intensity and pace and all that stuff. He got away from that to try and just get the best possible players that he could. And, part of that was that it got late in the summer, in the off season, and he was still having holes to fill. I mean, that's the other thing, is like, it seems like they're being way more intentional about filling spots early, but also not rushing and not settling. Like, they've identified, I just feel like they've done a much better job, and he's done a much better job of identifying exactly.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend, or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.